The Holocaust may not have happened, but it doesn't hurt to dream. ArianMatters.com.
Welcome to Alien Matters, news and comment from a white racialist viewpoint. This is James Hawthorne, and in the Wolf Lair studio with me is the one and only Lee Gardner.
How you doing, James?
And just before I go on to my first story, I want your opinion on this. There's been craziness in France again, Paris. I saw this on Yahoo News, and that was not one of my first stories. This could be a good preamble for this program. I'll get your comments. Mixing rap music with memories of France's revolutionary past, youths from poor neighborhoods of largely Muslim and African descent marched through Paris on Wednesday to present a coalition of 20,000 complaints to lawmakers. The march by several hundred people came ahead of Friday's first anniversary of the riots involving disaffected youths from immigrant Parisian suburbs. Many in France fear new violence with tensions rising in recent weeks. So here's these people from other lands marching in Paris, demanding their rights.
They shouldn't have any rights, right? They are not legitimate citizens of that country. And anybody who thinks they are is a typical person who's brainwashed and doesn't understand what the definition of a nation is. These Africans that are in France are not French youths. No, they are not that at all. They can never be French youths. They are still Africans, and that's where they belong. For them to fight for their rights, so-called, is only going to take away from the actual French citizens that are there, the real French people who have rights. Anybody who does not belong to a country and demands rights is demanding something they don't deserve and they shouldn't get. What's going to happen is this kind of stuff is just going to increase and increase and increase more and more and more. When two races are together, there's nothing that's going to happen but strife and conflict and violence. That's going to happen.
They're being very clever, these Muslims and these Africans. They're trying to evoke images of the 1789 French Revolution. In the report, it quotes, their plan was to bring the people's voices to Paris and hand over the notebooks to lawmakers. However, the head of the National Assembly refused to meet with the group.
Good for them.
That's always a good sign when you have politicians in national assemblies and in parliaments and in senates and in congresses refusing to meet these people. And the reason why these people in the National Assembly in this report probably refused to meet with these Muslims and these African youths is because of the growing groundswell of white French people who are utterly pissed off with these invaders demanding their rights, where the only right they've got is to get on a plane, get on a train, or get on a boat and get the hell out of France.
Damn right.
That's my opinion anyway.
You're damn right. And, you know, invoking the French Revolution, that's not a good thing. Who really believes that anymore, that the French Revolution was a good thing, when France has done nothing since that time but get worse and worse and worse? And who was involved in that? Wasn't that called the first Red Terror?
Yep.
I wonder where that came from. Does that have anything to do with Jews? Yes, it does. Let's look into our history books. Well, guess what? You won't find it. You won't find it. Anything negative about Jews will not be in your history books. You have to look for it in other places. And, of course, it's the truth. And so, you know, that's one thing they don't want you to know. That's a sad, that's a sad state of France today.
Well, as I say, the one thing about the screaming invasion of immigrants into Europe right now, it's giving the nationalist forces great voice and great hope for future victories in local elections and general elections, national elections. And in France next year, 2007, is the presidential election, and there's great hope for large votes for the National Front under the leadership of Jean-Marie Le Pen. That's the reason why these politicians in the National Assembly are refusing to meet these so-called youths from the Muslim and African communities, because they know damn well that white people, white Aryan people in France are still the majority in that country. They are going to feel the wrath of the white French people next year, hopefully, when they're able to put their cross where it really matters. And I pray to anyone who's listening to me in France right now to go out there and to fight for your French people, your French culture, your French civilization. Because if you don't go out next year and vote for the political organization that stands up for the French heritage, stands up for French culture, stands up for the heritage and foundations of the great French people, if you don't do that next year and send a message to these traitorous politicians in the National Assembly in Paris, then you deserve everything you freaking get.
That's right. But of course, we don't want that. We want Vive la France.
Vive la France. Vive la White la France.
Yes. Vive la France du blanc. Mm-hmm. All right. So what
Merci
is your
beaucoup.
First? Okay.
My so first the... story, my first story, Lee, is we're still in Europe. And we're going a bit east to the great country of Switzerland. Christopher Bloch, who is the chairman of the Swiss People's Party, is putting forward an issue which has got the Jews all riled up. This is from the European Jewish Press. Switzerland Justice Minister has called on the Swiss government to reverse a law which makes Holocaust revisionism illegal. Minister Christopher Bloch is on the campaign trail to change the law. According to the new, it's the new Zeitung newspaper, even if it will impinge upon the sensitivities of minority groups, including the country's Jewish communities. It's quite a long report. I won't read it all. I'll just give you a few highlights. Article 261 of the Swiss Criminal Code punishes genocide denial, as they call it. Currently, anybody is punishable in Switzerland if they deny, belittle, or relativize genocide of crimes against humanity. And as I said, it's a fairly long report, and we'll put this in the Area Matters report for everyone to read. Because it's quite a long and extensive report, but basically... Mr. Bloch, the chairman of the Swiss People's Party, the Populist Nationalist Party, is saying that he wants to make Holocaust revisionism legal in the great country of Switzerland. What do you think, Lee, on that one?
That's great. I mean, he's a very upstanding and honest gentleman to do that. I mean, you know, that's justice. Any nation that has these Holocaust denial laws, you know, you get in trouble for denying the Holocaust. It's just insane. It's like you know, Ingrid Zundel said, they are the new heretics. People that are charged with denying the Holocaust, they're the new heretics. And what the Catholic Church used to do with heretics is burn them at the stake, you know, jail them, imprison them, force them. If they would admit or confess or renege on what they believed in and say, well, I guess the Catholic Church is right on that, then they let him go or put him off, and, you know, just some mild punishment. Otherwise, they'd burn him at the stake and things like that, which is just exactly what's happened to Ernst Zundel and Germar Rudolf and, of course, the great British historian David Irving, all because the Jews want it that way. And again, that's and what? Why is it? Why are they heretics? Because they're going against some dogma, right? What is dogma? Dogma is just somebody's opinion asserted to be fact. It's belief. It's opinion. It is not fact, but it is the opinion that their belief is fact. And so, this whole myth about the Holocaust, Holocaust—you know, whatever you want to call it—is dogma. Religious dogma. It's like the writer Michael Hoff, he says, the Holocaust is our new religion. And it is. You know, they put up big institutions, big museums for it that, and let school kids have take tours through it. And, of course, in all the schools, you're going to get preached that just like all the races are equal. Just like the Marxist philosophy that all the races are equal, you're going to hear the same bullshit that the Germans are the most evil people. They perpetrated this Holocaust. This Holocaust is real. And there was, of course, the 6 million Jews that were exterminated. And again, if people don't think, people that are new to the show, they don't understand or know that they have been brainwashed and programmed to accept these beliefs, they got to realize if we ask them that question, you know, how many Germans died in World War II? How many Americans died in World War II? How many this or that? They will say, I don't know. They don't know. But if you say how many Jews died in World War II, they immediately know 6 million. Well, why is that? It's because they've been programmed, and they didn't need to think about this. They've been forced to accept this. And, of course, that's the worst crime in history, they're also told. And so Jews are also the most persecuted minority that have ever existed, they've been told. And Germans are the really worst of all, especially Hitler, for killing them. I mean, that's really the dogma. Any of that dogma you go against, you're going to get a violent reaction from all these people that are brainwashed out there to believe that shit. And, of course, it's a Pavlovian response. You know, it is, this is the way they're thinking. They cannot help it. And they're going to react a certain way to certain stimuli or certain ideas that go against what they believe.
How can you, here's the question, how can you be a Holocaust denier? You're denying something that never happened.
Right, right. The term itself is, it's just bogus, right? I mean, you're denying stuff, but we talked about that before. That's like you know, you calling me I'm a denier that the sun exploded, you know, a sun exploding denier. Well, you know, the sun hasn't exploded. So how could I be a denier of it? That doesn't make any sense. But again, the logic does not fit into the program here. You know, rational thought does not work. If I say so many people were killed by the Americans' bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but guess what? I'm coming out with new numbers now, and I say, you know what? That number is not even near as high as we thought it was. It's like one quarter. Is somebody else going to respond to that? If I said there was fewer Japanese killed by that atomic bomb, are they going to say, if you say that, that means I want to kill Japanese people? You know, that is the reaction to when you say, first of all, that the Holocaust, the numbers are a lot less than 6 million. And that has been established since at least 1989. The Polish government said that. You know, the number at Auschwitz was reduced. And everybody keeps touting this bullshit number of 6 million. And if you even start to that little small, well, it's not a small difference, but I mean, if you try to make that small claim, and the bigger claim is that, well, we know that the Germans did not try to genocide the Jews, that most people just died of typhus and other diseases and you know, the effects of war. That's the bigger claim. You know, then just a small number saying, well, maybe Hitler didn't kill as many. You know, kill is wrong. Kill, murder is the wrong word because there is no proof of that at all either. People died, yes. If you said, look, less people died or Hitler even killed less, They go ballistic about that and say, you want to kill more Jews, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? He didn't do enough, so we want to kill more? Like I said, anything, any other comparison you make, like the atomic bomb against Japan, that comparison is the same thing. If I say less Japanese died in the atomic bombing, or were killed, if you want to say it that way, people will not react and go, well, you want to kill more Japanese. But they do with the fucking Holocaust. And again, that's part of that programming that they've been brainwashed into believing. That if you talk about Jews that way, the Holocaust that way, that means you want to kill them. That's the way they've been programmed, and they don't even know it.
You know, it's just like any program I've been watching. I've been enticed back to watching the YouTube, and it just, you know, so-called documentaries, and you're watching these documentaries, up pops the Holocaust. Or, you know, up pops all sorts of anti-Third Reich stuff in a roundabout way, you know. Oh, you can't do that. It could be a Holocaust. Even in comedy shows.
Right, right.
This report goes on that the minister is apparently very much aware that a change in the law will only entice Holocaust deniers to question the existence of gas chambers as well. I do not want that. An opinion cannot be uttered only because someone will be offended by it. This is Blocher. According to the minister, the definition of genocide needs to be decided by historians. A debate on the subject, however, will have no basis if diverse opinions are banned, he said. Well, that's quite true.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout history, if you look through history and through life in general, let's take that for an example as well. Who bans? Why do people like the democratic country, so-called, of Canada spend all their time with their customs banning books, burning books? Why does the people, lawmakers in these countries that have banned so-called Holocaust denial, you know, locking people up, why are they doing this? And I've got a theory here. With Canada burning and banning books, Democratic Canada, as you know, this is a country that elects people on a regular basis, calls itself a democracy. Democracy means freedom. Freedom of speech. Yeah, here's a democratic country burning and banning books. And we have, I think, 8 European countries that ban so-called Holocaust denial. Got a theory. They're afraid of the truth. All the books that Canada bans is the truth. These people are banning so-called Holocaust denial because they know damn well that no 6 million Jews were gassed. And I saw a report just recently that the Auschwitz, that the true figure for Jews who died in Auschwitz was 75,000.
I believe I've heard the same numbers, less than that even.
That was due through typhus and, hunger because the war was closing in. 75,000, not what the Jews. And the Jews keep taking, as everyone knows, you know, they have replaced the, the plinth or the cement thing in Auschwitz. It keeps getting changed as the figures get lower and lower. As revisionist historians keep finding out all the true numbers, these Jews keep going, okay, we have to change the numbers down again. We've been screwed, you know.
Right.
An absolute joke.
Yeah, that's a joke. And you know, more and more nowadays, people are becoming interested in National Socialism and in the Third Reich and in Hitler. Because especially a lot of these communists or former communists or really Democrats, you know, what would they call liberals here? Because if they understand that this Iraq war was done by the so-called neocons, which again we know are actually Jews.
Yep.
And they start to think along these lines of, wait a minute, these Jews are the most hateful people. These Jews are the most evil people. They started this war. They're actually treating the Palestinians horribly. And there's nothing they can say against them because they get, you know, like you said, they get shut up. Anything they say, they'll get burned. Any articles they write or books they write against them, they get burned because they're charged with anti-Semitism and the rest of the shit, even though it's the truth. Even though anything they say bad about Israel and their treatment of the Palestinians and the way AIPAC and these kikes in our in the United States government got us into this war, they can't say it. Now, when they realize that, only the smartest ones of them realize that, they say, well, if Hitler was right about Jews, what else is he right about, right? And that's when they get curious, and that's when this interest in the Third Reich, National Socialism, and everything else starts to peak, and they get this interest and start to try to learn more. So the thing you just raised was a subject that Dr. Pierce talked about too, was who bans or burns books. There's always these stories about Nazi Germany. They burn books, right? They're horrible book burners, right? And there's these pictures of the Hitler Youth and other people throwing books in these big bonfires. Well, what people don't understand, and Dr. Pierce mentioned this, and again, because we got this whole lying media, like you said earlier, about everything is an excuse to blast. Oh, that's what the Nazis did. You know, that's a horrible Nazi thing. That propaganda is so pervasive that people don't know or don't understand what really happened in Germany. So when the Germans again were burning books, that was not a state-sponsored, state-advocated thing to do. They did it of their own volition. The people did it. And the books they were burning were what? They were Marxist, communist propaganda, and a bunch of pornography, right? All of that stuff which was produced by Jews. And the people were showing that they didn't believe that shit. Could you still own communist books and Marxist books, you know, books by Karl Marx in Germany? Yes, you could. Could you own pornography? Yes, you could. But the people were showing that you could, that they did not approve of that stuff. And in the Third Reich, they also taught about communism and Marxism in schools. But what they said was the truth, which was, look, here's communist theory. Here's Marxist theory about the egalitarian equality, all this crap. And guess what? It's not true. Here's the real truth. You know, people are different. This is biology. This is genetics. This is IQ. This is scientific processes. This is the way it is. This is the way life is. These are the different races. They're different species. Human beings are different species. Just like dogs are different species, no one's going to say that a Chihuahua is the same as a German Shepherd. So it's the same thing as you can't say that a nigger is the same as a white. You can't say that. And these are the facts. These are real. This is the truth. This is what the Germans taught, and they also taught, well, this is what the Jews said in their Marxist theories, and Karl Marx, the Jew, proposed these theories. Everybody's equal. There's this class strife, and why is there class conflict when everybody's really equal? There are no natural leaders. There are no people better than other people, even among the same race. We're all equal. So that is a lie, and that's what the Germans taught. They said, look, this is Marxist theory. This is reality. So they did not ban books or not talk about stuff.
I just want to say, the Swiss People's Party is making extraordinary progress in Switzerland, and it won't be long before the Swiss People's Party becomes the government of Switzerland and really enacts all these laws to take these innocuous laws about Holocaust revisionism and unban them and make it legal for people to talk about the Holocaust and whether it did or did not happen. It shouldn't be, it shouldn't be part of law to discuss the facts of history.
Yeah, what that shows is a state religion being enforced by, you know, laws created by the state. It's just like when the Catholic Church had those laws and they enforced it on everybody else. It's the same thing, right, with this Holocaust denial laws. And you're absolutely right. There should not be a law by the state to enforce a belief. And it really is a belief. Now, the proof of that, just like here's Canada again, absolutely crazy, and Soviet in their laws and system, when in the trial of Ernst Zundel, they actually said this in the courtroom, that when he and other people were bringing up facts about the Holocaust or the so-called Holocaust, that they said truth is no defense. You cannot bring up something like this that the Germans said about the Jews that was true, because that would incite the populace to dislike the Jews. So because it would do that, it would make the populace know what Jews were like and incite them to hate the Jews or to actually do something against the Jews, like kick them out or whatever. That was the reason they said truth is no defense. You can't use the truth because it might lead to something bad happening to the Jews. What kind of crazy government and system and state laws, who would agree to such a crazy system where they're actually telling people that to tell the truth is against the law, that, you know, the truth, and the truth is no defense. That is just insane.
We all know who it is. It's the Jews.
So, I mean, there's
those evil. Yeah, those evil hook-nosed kikes. You know, their day's coming, let me tell you. And we're not promoting violence on Area Matters here, but their day's coming. White Aryan people are going to wake up to their scams and to their unlawful practices against our people. And the day's going to come where, you know, Aryan people are going to get wise again. They're going to wake up and maybe it's time for these Jews to emigrate to Israel. Lee, your story, please.
My first story is about another kike that is in our government, Senator Joe Lieberman. Right, so you know about this guy, right?
I know Lieberman, yeah. He is one of the most ugly-looking Jews I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he sure is. There's a funny picture of him, too, on National Vanguard. It's great. It's absolutely great. I mean, he looks like the total sleaze bag lying fucking kike in that picture. I mean, like it's like he should be selling used cars or something. It's a good picture. Anyway, this story comes from Yahoo News and originally from the Associated Press. And it's about this nice debate that Lieberman had with two other candidates for senator. And, you know, now he is running as an independent because he lost as a Democrat to a Republican. And next thing you know, there's this three-way between himself, a Democrat, and a Republican. And the title of the story is Lamont Compares Senator Lieberman to Nixon. And here are a couple of quotes from the article. Lamont said, "Iraq is Joe's war of choice, and he's been its strongest and staunchest supporter every step of the way." And then a little further down in the article, the reporter says, "Lieberman backs the Bush administration view that establishing a timetable for withdrawal would be disastrous," right? That's a withdrawal from Iraq. And then a little later on, it says, well, good old Lieberman, he also criticized the Bush administration for failing to have a plan to win the peace, for not putting enough troops on the ground, and for failing to win Allied support before the war. Those three things are such absurd general comments that anybody that can believe them or buy them, that he's sincere or that they mean really anything in reality, they're just brainwashed and confused and don't understand. They don't know how to analyze things critically, and they don't think hard enough about what somebody's telling them to realize that they're full of shit. If you actually stop and think about what somebody's telling you, you should be able to discern that they're not telling you the truth. Like, for example, part of the thing he said here, let me back up and say first that, okay, this was, as this guy Lamont said, is that Iraq is Joe's war of choice. Now, why is that? Wasn't the Democrat Party supposed to be the big anti-war party? Mm-hmm. They've been the big anti-war, quote-unquote, party since the Vietnam War because they protested the Vietnam War so heavily. But the Democrats that were against the Vietnam War, where there were a lot of them were Jews, there was Horowitz, there was Lieberman, there were the Clintons and other people that were at that time. Why were they against it? Well, because that war was the United States fighting against communism. And who are the big creators and supporters of communism? Right? The fucking Jews. So what happens later on is, and Lieberman and Horowitz and these other kikes are the perfect example of it, when it's good for Jews, then they're against it. So Now this war, which is against Iraq, and of course Iraq, just like all of the Arab and Muslim world, are against Israel and Jews. Well, guess what? He is for it. He's for war. Like this guy Lamont said, it's Joe's war of choice. He is for what's good for the Jews. And if Lamont and other people don't realize that, then they're never going to solve the problem that we have, which is the Jewish problem. They're never going to understand it and solve it. And so people that go back and say, well, look, you know, Horowitz was a Democrat, you know, and now he's not. It's just because he changed his views. That's not true at all. His views were whatever was good for Jews at any one time is the right thing to do. So communism has always been good for Jews. Marxism has always been good for Jews. Any direct action resulting from that, which is war, violence, you know, anything against communism, they're against. Anything that's against what's good for Jews, which is violence against people that are against Jews, which is Iraq, they're for. If anybody's committing violence against Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, all these countries, which are Egypt even, which are against Jews, they want that. That's what they want. They want us to do that. So being a Democrat and being a peacenik, so-called, or anti-war, does not fit in with the agenda against, which is what is good for Jews.
It wouldn't, you know, Senator Lieberman wouldn't say that the war was a good war because it defends and supports Israel. I mean, Iraq now has been turned into basically a three-section country with the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shias. It's probably going to split up into three new countries eventually. Then the Jews in Israel must be jumping hoops and throwing up their prayer books in the air and banging their heads against the wailing wall and laughing and joking. And here we have this scumbag Lieberman saying this is a good war. Well, why, Joe, is this a good war, you filthy kike? It's because it benefits Israel. Yeah, you never hear Joe say that, will you?
Hell no. He won't admit
the truth.
Hell
no, Joe won't say that. That filthy fucking Hebrew.
That's right. And, you know, you just brought up a good point. The Wailing Wall. So what's all that about? Most ignorant Christians believe that the Wailing Wall is, you know, when Jews go there and they're praying to God and they're so sad about the persecution and shit that they've suffered all these years. And really what it's about is they are so pissed off that Jerusalem and the Temple of Solomon and all that was destroyed that they go back and say, hey, let's get these fuckers back. Let's get back at these fuckers. That's what they go to the Wailing Wall to do, you know, and most people don't even understand that. Most Americans and Christians don't understand how Jews think. And
people just don't understand our people. And this is where education by us, by good national socialists like us, for our people to understand, look at all the Jewish holidays that they celebrate, the great festivals that the Jews celebrate. They're all about battles against the Goy.
Yeah, they celebrate that, right? They celebrate the death of Goyim.
There's a movie out right now, and it's about, it slips my mind, but it's being rated a PG movie, and it's a total Jewish histrionics, can I use that word, movie from ancient times. Where it's about the where the Purim festival comes from, and the Hanam ears and the ears of this evil guy who, you know, who wanted to exterminate the Jews in those ancient times. But as you look through history, why do people who are non-Jewish Gentiles have this inkling, this passion, just to move these people from the nation that they're in? There's something, I mean, why is it through centuries it's been going on? Why are these people gone against the Jews? I mean, if they're such a loving, peaceful, caring, you know, race.
And they should know why. And most, of course, most Gentiles or the Goyim or the rest of us who aren't Jews don't know why. But if the Jew is just looking in the fucking mirror, so that's why, right? It's their fault. It's their behavior. You know, getting back to this article and also the lies about the National Socialists in Germany, the Third Reich, saying that they didn't like the Jews because of their religion. That's what I was taught. You know, when I was in, I don't remember exactly, 7th or 8th grade, the Jews in Germany were persecuted because of their religious beliefs, because of Judaism, not because of what they had done. One more thing about this article. Like I was saying earlier about, you know, trying to discern what somebody tells you and what it actually means. One of these statements in here is Lieberman's problem with the Bush administration that he said was he failed to have a plan to win the peace. Whatever the fuck that means. What the hell does that mean? Does that make any sense to anybody in the world? What is that, winning the peace? Does that mean the peace of the dead? Right? When the Iraqis, a lot of them are dead, that's pretty peaceful. You know, cemeteries are pretty peaceful. So
They have to win the war first, never mind the peace.
What I'm saying is these word games they play are so obviously fraudulent that most of our people don't ask or don't think about what they're being told. And so a plan to win the peace, what the fuck does that mean? Just like the peace process, you know, we keep bringing that up because I've been hearing that since I was 10 years old about the peace process in the Middle East. Like Dr. Pierce said once, the peace process, you know, that's a joke. It's already lame. It's a lame duck. Well, who keeps bringing up the peace process? There's no such thing. And it goes back to one more example I'd like to bring up around along the same lines, is that if World War II, the Allies thought they were fighting for freedom, right? They were fighting for freedom. And before that, I think it was World War I, and Woodrow Wilson said they were fighting to save the world for democracy and all these cliche kind of bullshit against statements, just like Lieberman says about this, have a plan to win the peace. You've got to think about it. Okay, let's think about it. If the Allies are fighting for freedom, are the Axis, are the Germans and the Italians, are they fighting for tyranny? Is that what they're fighting for? So they're out there, the soldiers are out there fighting. So yeah, we're fighting because we want to take over. We want this tyranny imposed on everybody. Is that what they were thinking? No, it wasn't at all. So again, if you think about it and learn about it and understand it and know what's propaganda, what's a line, what's a cliche, what's something that's just words that really don't mean anything, then you'll start criticizing things more and beginning to, you know, see through these bullshit. I mean, it's all bullshit. We don't think enough about what our politicians said, or even in the past what politicians have said. We need to analyze that more. I mean, these words are important because that's how we communicate, and words are also very important because that's how we get suckered, right? We get brainwashed, we get fooled. And we want to be very clear, and that's what National Socialists do. And that's what, you know, is in the heart of many Aryans, is to be honest and truthful and get to the root of things and not come up with some bullshit, deception, lies, tricks, word games that the Kikes like to do.
We've been talking about here on this segment about what's been good for Jews through history and through wars and everything's been, what's been bad for Jews has been people who have awoke to the Jewish problem, to the Jewish threat. National Socialism as an ideology awoke a whole nation to the Jewish threat, to the Jewish problem. That's what the Jews fear. The Jews fear a resurgence of 21st century National Socialism. They fear it. They're terrified by it because National Socialism shines the light onto these rats in the corner. We shine the light on them, and we show the world what they are truly all about. I read an interesting article about Henry Ford, what he went through, and he, with his Dearborn Independent newspaper. He said, I will print this newspaper for 6 years, and I will expose the Jewish problem. So he didn't take any paid advertisements at the Dearborn Independent. And he, for 6 years, he was a man of his word. He printed that newspaper about the Jew articles about the Jewish problem for 6 years. The Jews couldn't attack the newspaper through his advertising because he had no advertising. He paid it all up front. He put in millions into that newspaper. He did 6 years of the Jewish problem. After 6 years, he stopped printing the paper. That was it. It was all over. And then it went into a four-volume book. It just shows, you know, even a great patriot like Henry Ford knew.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people knew and tried to spread the word. But when the Jews control most of the means of education and communication in the world, we're locked out. Now, the truth is,
I would just tell young people and new people who have come across area masses on the World Wide Web just to read books, just to not only read books, listen to not only our audio programs, but other white nationalist and national socialist audio programs. Immerse yourself in what's going on. Read books like Kevin MacDonald's The Cultural Critique, International Jew, as I said, by Henry Ford, Protocols of the Lynn Els Design, a great book to read, Pawns in the Game. I can go on and on and on. Find a good bookseller that sells all these books. You can get most of these books on Amazon, by the way, right now. Just go and get these books if you're new to this and want to immerse yourself in what we're saying, because what we're saying is the truth. And immerse yourself in these books and these audio programs, and finally the light bulb will go on. And we need to have more light bulbs going on all over our Aryan land, all over the Aryan world. Because once these light bulbs go on, the Jews go out.
Very well said.
On my second story, we're still in Europe right now. European Defense Agency paints grim picture of future. This is reported by the EuropeanUnionBusiness.com, EUBusiness.com, if you want to go there right now. Just a few quotes from this article. Again, another long article. What's with these long articles? Yeah, the European Union will become older, poorer, and increasingly vulnerable to wide-scale immigration from its neighbors, according to a new European Defense Agency report. The overall picture is of an aging, less prosperous Europe surrounded by regions, Africa, Middle East, Russia, quote here, which may be struggling to cope with the consequences of globalism. I guess that's Russia. The average age of Europeans, who will only make up 6% of the global population, will rise to 45, while in Africa, the average will be 22 years of age. Young coons there. As the falling birth rate increases, competition in the job market, the pool of 16 to 30-year-olds available to the armed forces will drop by 15% by 2025. So here we have, and this article goes on, Europe must take to heart the fact that the United States is outspending Europe 6-1 in defense. Research and development, that it devotes some 35% of its defense expenditure to investment from a budget more than twice as large as that of the Europeans combined, as against the European level, about 20%, and that it is increasingly dominant in global export markets. Just goes on about the European Union. The European Union is in a particular situation right now. It's a globalist entity, and being a globalist entity, it needs to expand. It needs to bring in nations which are not European. It's okay for the Polish and the Estonians, Latvians, Lithuanians, and the Czechs and the Slovaks and all these, even the Russians. If the Russians want to join the European Union, they can join because they're white people. If this was a nationalist European Union, they'd be quite welcome to join the European Nationalist Union, the Russians, because the white people, both on the outer reaches of the European Union, we have Turkey. Turkey is screaming to get into the European Union. And for the most part, these establishment politicians are stopping Turkey come in. But eventually, these traitorous politicians, being the traitors that they are, will probably allow Turkey in. But this is just a little microcosm with Turkey, the fact that these establishment politicians, again, are a bit wary about allowing Turkey in. Now, why is that? If everyone's equal, if all these globalist politicians who are in charge of all our Aryan countries right now, and I say right now because times are changing, people, these globalist politicians, hey, Turkey is just like me and you. They've just got a little dark skin. What's the problem? Bring them in. Bring Turkey in. There's no problem. What's going on in the background is the growing force of nationalism in Europe, white nationalism, even national socialism. You call it whatever you want to call it. It's in the background and it's growing. And that's putting pressure on these traitorous politicians. Just like the report earlier on about the Holocaust thing in Switzerland. Pressure from nationalist forces in Europe is now growing because people, white European people, are understanding that our culture, our heritage, and our civilization in Europe is under threat, and they're going to these nationalist forces in their droves. They're joining them, they're voting for them, and they're putting pressure on these traitorous politicians because they know, I swear they know that their day's coming and their day's up. And they better wise up or they're going to have major issues to deal with. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I read that article, and it's very bleak, the things they say in there about the birth rates being so low. They need more immigrants. This is the same kind of shit that we hear over here in the United States about the jobs that white people won't do. It's a bunch of shit. And the problem is, what the European Union is that organization was founded mainly as a body with what in mind? With economics in mind, with finance in mind. All it's concerned with is the euro. And if you say it's just the euro, we're talking about the same thing, the almighty dollar in the United States. These people are just capitalist pigs. They don't care about race. If they can sell something, somebody, they don't care what color they are, they don't care what race they are. If they can get somebody to work for them cheaper so they can make more money, whether they're dollars or euros or whatever the fuck it is, that's all they care about. That's where the danger is. And our white people in every nation, if they start to realize that that's all the EU is a big capitalist, globalist, pig entity, then they will do exactly what you said, which is what I hope they do, in to join white nationalist, national socialist kind of organizations to take these fuckers down, take them out, and say, look, we do not live by greed alone. This greed is destroying our people. Our birth rates are low. Our people are dying. That's what that means. Our people are dying. It's that simple and straightforward, and that's the fact, and that's the truth. And they said, they just mentioned in that article too, right, like you said, 6% of the population is Europe. And the rest of us, again, the total of white people in the world is got to be in the range of 10% and declining fast because the birth rate's low. That's why Putin had people that take off a day of work and say, he said, go home and make babies, right? He knows that's the way. For people to survive is to have their birth rates up to populate the next generation of people, which is something like 2.1 births per family and higher. That's what we need. Otherwise, we are dying. We're going extinct. And like I said, the EU is just one entity, this economic, greedy, capitalist pig entity that will kill us off just for the sake of money, just for greed, just for mammon. Just for the sake of the euro, just for the sake of the dollar. It doesn't matter what you call it. They're killing us. Our people are dying.
The one population in all European nations which are struggling and are getting the stick are white working class people, not only in Great Britain, but France and Germany and Sweden and Denmark and France, Spain, all the European Union nations. The white working class people are getting the stick. They're getting the shaft. They're getting shit on. by these establishment politicians. Nationalist forces hopefully are going after these people, and these people are the people that need to join nationalist forces against the globalists and the capitalist pigs, you rightly call them, because this is not about economics right now. It's changed. It's not about economics. It's about race. And this report goes on, and this is the frightening part of this report. The African population will pass 1.3 billion by 2025. That's up 48%, with the Middle East seeing a similar percentage rise. So here we have the mud races, the non-white races, are breeding like frickin' rabbits. Our people have been told it's best if your women go to work and have a family later on.
Right.
You know, this was started in the 1960s. Yeah, it's best for women to go to work and have children later on. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You should be part of the workforce and try and be better than men, you know, all that good stuff. That is genocide.
It's genocide, and it's even worse when you actually examine it and analyze it and the results that actually happen as a result of feminism. And like you said, started in the 60s, all due to Jewish women, right? Gloria Steinem, Bella Abzug, these fucking kike Jewishes like that, who are telling women that, of course, the white male has put them down in their society all these years. Now they should have their own careers. This is more damaging to us than anything, because if you think about it, the brightest of our women, the women that have the highest IQ, are the ones that end up going to college, end up putting off having children, and most of the time end up having no children at all. So the population of white people that does increase is the lower IQ part of the population, because the higher IQ women who don't want to have children, want to have their career, aren't breeding. So that dysgenic instead of eugenic, which is a better thing, which is increasing our breed of people, our race of people, it's the opposite effect when this feminism is involved. Not only do we have less children, we have less children of higher IQ, because, like I said, the best women with the highest IQ want to pursue careers and not have children. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster.
As I say, I'm perusing the jukebox again after a while of not having this cancer invade my home. But I've decided to go back to the jukebox, and being in a white Aryan national socialist that I am, I can filter out the Jewish message. And it's quite a cathartic experience. I've been experiencing this at the moment. What I have found, and all these programs keep coming to me, is the fact that women, white Aryan women, who have put off having children and have joined the workforce, and they're in corporate Great Britain or corporate America, corporate Europe, these women are now, and I said this on an earlier Aryan Masses program, these women are regretting doing this. They're regretting leaving childbirth this late. They wanted to stay home and said they wanted to have 3 or 4 or 5 kids, a large family of white children, prosperous. That tells me it's nature kicking in. It doesn't matter about economics or how much you're getting paid or what your wages or where you are in the great scheme of society. Nature always kicks in. That's what Adolf Hitler said in Mein Kampf. No matter what we do, nature always rectifies and kicks in and tells you. And these women are being, it's in their genes, it's in their genetic makeup that they should have children. And they're coming out now on all these television programs and saying, we made a mistake. We should have not gone to work and gone into the corporate life. We should have stayed home and had a family, you know, 3 or 4 kids.
But that's the tragedy of it, if nature kicks in too late for them, right?
Yeah.
So, and of course, for our race, we will find out here whether or not it's going to kick in our racial awareness and the fact that we're being destroyed and going extinct. Is this self-preservation instinct in nature for us, is it going to kick in? I mean, it better kick in fast because this is the 11th hour, as John Tyndall would say.
I quite agree. And as I say, the European Union, which was called the Common Market in the 1970s, Common Market was just an economic, economic system for, European countries. It became the European Union. Now, the European Union has become a globalist entity, part of the New World Order. And it's time for Aryan people in Europe to rise up against this globalist nightmare and join the nationalist forces and fight against this. We have an enemy here, everybody. Anyone's new to this program, let me tell you, we have an enemy, and it is the globalist politicians, your Tony Blairs, your Jacques Chiracs, your Angela Merkel. All these people are globalists. They are not part of what we believe in, and they should be cast aside. Nationalist forces have got to rise up and take Europe back. And that's what James Hawthorne says.
That's right. And our people have to realize that we have white traitors, just like we always bring up the Jews as the problem, because the Jews are the problem. And these people who are white traitors, who go along with the Jew line, people like Tony Blair, they don't even know that they're following a Jewish agenda, right? The first huge internationalist, globalist kind of ideology which took over the world was what? Was communism. Communism was internationalism. But now we have globalism, internationalism in an economic sense where every man is equal, one man, one vote. And, of course, like I said earlier, the same thing with the dollar. A dollar from this guy, even though he's a sub-Saharan African buying an AK-47, is just as good as a dollar from an American. It doesn't matter when it's all about economics. And so, again, that was still the Jewish influence. And our white traders, hey, if we're going to say that the Jews need punishment and we're going to punish them for their crimes against our people, well, we're also going to punish our own white people, our own white race traders, for their crimes as well, for going along with the Jews and killing us. I think this is a perfect time to segue into my second story, which is very similar to problems surrounding our racial decline, our low birth rates and everything else. It's about a nigger in Australia who had HIV. This article is from the Sydney Morning Herald, and the title is HIV Menace Appeals Jail Term. So it says, a Sydney man who knowingly infected two women with HIV has appealed against the severity of his 12-year jail term. So all this nigger gets for, I'm talking, this guy is a fucking African. His name is Kenengele Yonja, whatever the fuck that is. His first name, believe this or not, his first name is Stanislaus, right?
Stanislaus.
That should sound, that's like a fucking Russian name.
It's normally, the Kenyans have names like Simon Lubingi or Nigel Laputu.
And so he, this African nigger in Australia, now get this, this is even worse. The two women that he infected, okay, were tourists. One female from Ireland and the other one from Germany. Okay? So this particular crime and issue here illustrates the utter madness and depravity and, you know, basically just Jew insanity that our people have become inculcated with and are dying from. First off, this nigger is in Australia, okay, the formerly white continent. But they let all these other non-whites in, and then we have the same Jewish Marxist egalitarian bullshit propaganda in Germany and Ireland so that these tourists from these separate companies think it's perfectly fine to have a fling. Of course, it had to be a fling, right? It had to be a one-night stand little thing they're going to do, and guess what? Nobody back in the homeland nobody back in Ireland or in Germany is going to find out that I had sex with some nigger. And maybe back over there, you know, my brothers and my father and everybody would be pissed off if they knew. So I can come down here on a little secret getaway here and have sex with this nigger. That's what happened. First off, they want to have sex with a nigger. Second off, the nigger is in the country, a white country, which they shouldn't be in, right? They should not have any association with white people except in a sort of a business kind of professional kind of relationship of where we're not ever saying we're going to integrate and have more than just business kind of relationships. You cannot have a mixture of the races. That's the way our future white nationalist, national socialist governments should always be is, yeah, we have associations with non-whites, but there's no way any of us condone any racial mixing. And the people that do and the people that have in our countries now, like if there's all these films and pornography and all this stuff out there with white women, mainly white women, right, who have sex with non-whites, we're saying they're, when we get control, they are out of here. It's either they get punished as white race traitors or they leave and they go and join these people in their countries, these Africans and Spics and whoever else that they like to have sex with because we don't want them. Mm-hmm. You know, they have done something and have destroyed our race. A mixture of a white person and a non-white destroys both races. And so that white person is gone forever. You'll never have a white, blue-eyed, blonde child or redhead, green-eyed, freckle-faced child come out of a mixture between a white and a non-white.
Then you follow up your friends and acquaintances and ask them if they want to help put this fight over to save this country from the onslaught of integration. You know the system is they want to throw white children and colored children into the melting pot of integration, throughout of which will come a conglomerated, balada, mongrel class of people. Both races will be destroyed in such a movement. I, for one, under God, will die before I'll yield one inch to that kind of a movement.
What do you say about that article?
Does it mention the age of these women?
No.
No,
it's
well,
a very short article.
A sort of program where elderly British women in their 50s are going to Jamaica to hook up with book nigger Jamaicans. They go on these special vacations where they go over. They're like 50 years of age, single. They go over there to hook up with book fucking niggers, and they were talking to these Jamaicans, and you say, yeah, they come over, and you know, these white women, you know, they're in their 50s and they have money, you know, and they come over and we take care of them sexually, and they pay for us to have drink and ganja and all that stuff. Okay, a 50-year-old, that's not a childbearing age, but just the thought of a white erring woman going over there basically to have sex with this simian, you know, it's quite disturbing. But I can see this developing
in
a situation.
All the time.
Yeah, I can see this developing in a situation where you'll have white women who have seen this evil bitch, Heidi Klum, and what's been going on with that animal seal. And what they have produced is, it's unbelievable. It doesn't, they don't even look, their so-called children don't even look fucking human. Yeah. They look like a species that was beamed down from aliens. You know, now this Heidi Klum, I'm convinced, will be portrayed in the Jewish media as the, you know, the way to go. She's got this great big black guy and she's got these, to have these kids on like soap commercials and all these other commercials.
She already is.
Yeah, I know. And that'll pop, you know, that sends a message to white airing girls of childbearing age that it's okay to have sex with her. Seal looks like a fucking gorilla.
Oh, yeah. He could be part gorilla for all we know. This is the problem, though. She has become more popular. I guarantee it that I have seen her now on more magazine covers, on more internet websites, the small little pictures on the side, you know, go to this fashion thing or whatever. There's this beautiful white woman. I'm like, who's that? It's fucking Heidi Klum, the nigger-loving German.
Yeah, you know what? I posted this on the VNMforum.com, and the Heidi Klum will become the poster child for miscegenation.
Oh, yeah, she is already. She is already. I mean, they tried to use that bitch who married that golfer. What's his name? That half-breed golfer. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. Yeah.
Right. So he's got a beautiful Swedish woman. They try to make her the model, but no, you know, Heidi Klum is really better looking. She's actually model material, even though that bitch that Tiger Woods married is really good looking too. They have that everywhere. They, like I said, I know already Heidi Klum has been promoted big time, a lot more than she ever was before. Because I don't remember ever seeing that many magazine covers or anything with her on it. Because that's the first thing I thought the other day when I saw her picture on there. I was like, well, who's that? Who's that white woman? And I looked, it was Heidi Klum. Oh, okay. That's why they've got her there. Oh, and then you find out, oh, she's married to that fucking yard ape Seal. And again, what you said, I've seen those pictures too online. Oh my God, the kids are just disgusting looking. And here, this beautiful white woman, you know, what her IQ is, I don't know if she's intelligent or not. She probably is. But she's definitely beautiful. Has the bone structure, the hair, all this, that her kids would have looked, you know, damn good too, for her half of the genes anyway. And what does she create? This fucking mongrel, ugly.
Monsters.
You know, monsters. You know, this is horrible. It's absolutely sickening.
Could you imagine, you know, her genetic makeup and her genes? Has she met a German with, you know, German with the same racial makeup? Could you imagine how beautiful her kids would have been?
I know.
Imagine it.
And she's destroyed it. She's destroyed it. All these hundreds and thousands of years that have led to her production, all of her ancestors, all the generations coming down over the years, the blue eyes, the blonde hair, the brown hair, the nice cheekbones, well-formed ears, the high forehead, completely destroyed. You look at the fucking family tree at her point, and it's fucking broken there. There's no family tree anymore. It's gone. Her branch has destroyed it. She was a branch from the tree, and that branch is no longer exist. The white race does not exist. Our people do not exist coming off of that branch anymore. What she has produced.
It's not only her, as you say, that the branch of her tree, or it must be on freaking fire right now. What that evil woman has done.
It should be
centuries of a genetic line of heritage.
Yeah. It should, you know, be. Just, and why has this happened? Because we have allowed the Jews to corrupt us like this. There would not be these niggers in our society to marry with, to mix with. That would not happen if the Jews had not corrupted us to the point of believing in all the Marxist, bullshit, egalitarian, all the races are equal crap. That's the problem right there. They have corrupted us to the point where not only is feminism killing us, this miscegenation is killing us.
Years and centuries of white Aryan people choosing partners in a responsible manner, bringing the race on. The more good-looking people are come together to have children, that increases the race. The race improves, it gets better. you know, and the children should be educated to.
Right, but that's evil. That's evil, isn't it?
Racist. Nazi.
Yeah, that's racist. That's Nazi. So think about that, people. If that's what it is, racist and Nazi, then maybe that's what we should be doing. Because if we're not doing it, we're destroying it, just like this bitch Heidi Klum is. These fucking mongrels. Think about black people, okay? Just think in your head about blacks. The only time you see a nigger running is if he's running from the cops or he's carrying a fucking football or basketball or something. That's when niggers run, right? And like that nigger Chris Rock said, if you go into a black neighborhood, don't bring a gun, bring a fucking book. Because books are like kryptonite to niggers. You got to think. This is reality that we're telling you. And you know it's true. So why are you going to go against reality and say that niggers are our equals? And destroy our race. Let's destroy our race because we'll mix with them and have children who are just as equal as white people are. That's not what you want. That's killing our people. That means death. That means extinction to our people. There will be no more white children with blonde hair, blue eyes, red hair, green eyes, or even brown hair, blue eyes, brown hair, brown eyes. It doesn't matter. Those people are gone because when you mix with these yard apes, and apes is the right word. A lot of people joke around and call them monkeys or simians or whatever. Well, apes is the right word because what's the difference between apes and monkeys? Apes don't have tails, right? Monkeys have tails. So apes, yard apes, that's the perfect word for these fucking coons, these fucking Africans, these spooks. That's what they are. They're Africans. That's where they belong. In Africa. Away from our people. Even in Africa, when we have our white people in Africa, like South Africa, we separated them from our own people. That's the way they should be. They should always be geographically separated, even in Africa. If we have to go there in the future, take our countries back, take South Africa back because we need something there, want resources there, whatever the hell we want to do, we do that because we have to, you know, for our race to survive, and we keep ourselves separate from the blacks because that's the only way we can survive. When both of the races mix, they both get destroyed. More importantly, we get destroyed. We're getting destroyed for multiple reasons. Our people are dying. We keep pointing it out. That's how crucial all this white nationalism, these shows are. Goyfire, Dr. Pierce's broadcasts, everything that we're doing. We're not doing it just to educate. We're not doing it just to entertain. We're doing it for survival of our people. That's why we're doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And you made a great comment there about Tiger Woods and his Swedish slut. It was in the news, but once this Heidi Klum thing picked up speed with the seal animal and the abominations that these two produced, that they're flavor of the month all over the world right now, all over the Jewish media. And does that do? Sends a signal to good-looking white women to go fuck a nigger.
Right. That's ultimately all it means. And people out there listening to this and don't like the reality of what we're saying, that's too fucking bad because we're trying to warn you. We're trying to help you. This is what happens. You're white male out there. You have daughters. They're going to fuck niggers. Guaranteed. It's on MTV all the time. Now they're advocating this even more with examples of Heidi Klum and Seal. That kind of shit. Tiger Woods and the other bitch, that kind of shit. They're using that. You white men out there who want to protect your daughters, you better know, and not only just protect your daughters, but to protect the heritage of your ancestry, your entire ancestry going back hundreds of years. If you have any respect for them, you won't let your daughter mix with non-whites, and you will join with us and support us in any white nationalist, national socialist organizations that are out there.
Ice-T also in the news, Ice-T, and apparently this gangbanger, misogynist, filthy coon, and he's hooked up with some white stripper who apparently has quite an array of mammary glands. It's all over the press. It's all over these stupid supermarket tabloids that Ice-T has got this white person, you know. And so that's just another example of the Jews pushing miscegenation against our people.
It won't stop until we put an end to it. And the only way out, as they say in Boy Fire, is, as Alex Luner says, the only way out is through the Jew. We have to get control of what the Jew has control of now, which is the mass media, which is our government, which is our educational system. And if you don't believe that those things are under Jewish control, then you don't understand what's happened in this country. And really, this ideology that we explained to you, all these different parts of it, feminism, egalitarianism, all this stuff emanates from the Jew. It's constantly pushed. And this so-called fake bullshit about anti-Semitism, the Holocaust, how Nazis are bad, how racism, which means, again, being for your race, for your own people, for our people to survive, to not go down, and which we are going down. We are going to extinct. Our people are dying. That's what we're talking about here. If the Nazis are the bad guys, then we should all be the bad guys. We should all be Nazis because that's the only way we're going to survive. We have to be Nazis. And, you know, the story, this nigger who infected these two women from Ireland and Germany with HIV, appealing the fact that he only got a 12-year sentence. What is that shit? Should he get a 12-year sentence for giving someone that's a lethal disease? No. He should just be stood up against the wall and shot. It's that simple. That's justice. We don't have justice anymore in any of our nations, for any reason, for any crime. It doesn't matter anymore. It's total corruption everywhere you look. And the only ones that can bring us out of this are people who think like we do, who understand reality and want to preserve the white race.
Area Matters is the program. Lee Gardner and James Hawthorne are the hosts. Truth is what we speak. If you have any questions, drop us a line at askaneonazi@yahoo.com. We don't care if you're a national socialist, white nationalist, even if you're a freaking communist or a Jew, you can drop us a line at that. Again, askaneonazi@yahoo.com. That's the Area Matters email address for any questions, ideas. You want to become a guest on the round table, drop us a line and we'll include you in the program. Once again, I want to thank everyone for their technical assistance on regards to this program. I want to thank Lee for being with me again.
You're welcome.
And I'll see everybody and Mr. Gardner next time on Area Matters.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye now.